think I'll just use this handheld if that's all right. I know in my Bible I've got like 6 outlines. And honestly, when we got here, preach, I was telling my wife right there in the pulpit, I said, for some reason today I'm nervous. And I always get nervous before I preach, but today was extra nervous. I felt like butterflies in my stomach. Man, we got to singing some of them songs. I believe them butterflies is flying in formation right now, and they about ready. But I got to thinking about this, Revelation chapter number 1, and I'm not going to preach. Don't get nervous. Y'all going to get to the Kentucky Fried or wherever you're going to go after a while. But Revelation chapter 1, I got to thinking about just the first couple verses of Revelation chapter number 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when I read this line just a couple years ago, and of all things that he saw. Over and over again in this book of the Revelation, and please don't get nervous, I'm not going to preach. Over and over again preaching this book of the Revelation, you read the words, and John saw. And John says, and I beheld. And John says, and I looked. Over and over and over, I don't know what the number is, but it's a lot of times in this book of the Revelation that John says, I looked and I beheld and I saw. What God showed John, I believe, is what's missing in the lives of Christian people today. I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Been Baptist 9 months before I was ever born. And preacher, I honestly believe most Baptist churches believe the book of the Revelation because it is the word of God. But somehow or another, I believe we've got the book of the Revelation happening way, 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 way out yonder. When in reality, the book of the Revelation can start to unfold, especially beginning in chapter number 6 and following. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 6 and following, can unfold before the last amen is said in this service today. Things can happen. The only thing left on the prophetic calendar of God, so to speak, is the rapture of the church. The only thing left for God to do is say, come up hither, and we'll be out of here in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's all that's left. And I believe if we just grasp a hold of just two or three things that John saw, I believe it's missing in the lives of the 2021 Christian. And I believe if we saw these things, I honestly believe that there wouldn't be an empty seat in the church house tonight. I really believe that would be the parking lot would be full, preacher. You'd have to have overflow. If we, just the ones that are in this building today, would just grasp a hold of just a few things that John said, I looked and I beheld and I saw. I'm not going to preach, but if I was, I'd tell you, number one, John said, I looked and I beheld and I saw the Savior. And he's still on the throne. John says, I was looking. And the amazing part about it is John looked all the way to where time stopped. And John said, I'm going to look over into eternity. And John says, I'm looking way past what our minds can comprehend. I'm looking way past what I can even think about in my heart and in my mind. I'm looking out there in eternity, and I see the Savior, and he's still on the throne. I'd be remiss this morning to tell you how big of a sinner I was. But I'd be sadly mistaken not to tell you how big of a Savior I have. I'd be missing the point, preacher, to tell you how wicked and how vile and how
how ungodly I am without telling you about how great and how merciful and how loving and how gracious this Savior is to me. And John says, I didn't look way out there in eternity. He's still there. He's still seated on the throne. He's not taking Maalox, and he's not on Valium, and he's not taking nerve pills. God is still at large, and he's still in charge, and God is seated on the throne, and he's just waiting to tell his son, hey, go get my bride. Go get my church. You bring her up here. The Savior is still on the throne. I honestly believe if we just grasp a hold of that, all the COVID stuff, all the war stuff, all the earthquake stuff, everything that's going on in this life, if we, as a child of God, would just grasp a hold that he's still on the throne. If we would just grasp that he's still on the throne. And you say, how do you know? John's done saw him way out there in eternity. And through the eye of faith, I can see him. He's still up there. He's still on the throne. He's not abdicated. He's not resigned. He ain't going to be in peace. He's not giving it up. He still is the only one that's worthy to sit on the throne, the Lord God Almighty. John said, I didn't look way out there. Still in charge. He's still on the throne. But if I was going to preach, I tell you, number two, not only there's a Savior, but John says, I looked and I beheld and I saw a sure judgment that's coming because of Adam and Eve's sin. God put a curse on everything you see out there. God said, man's going to have to eat by the sweat of his brow. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. Woman's going to have to give birth, and she'll give birth in a lot of pain and a lot of travail. John said, because of that sin, God says, I'm going to have to judge this earth. If you start reading chapter number 6 and following in this book of the Revelation, you don't want to be here. If you are, I'm not trying to be smart aleck, but too late. Because John said, I'm going to send him four horsemen. God said, I'm going to send him four horsemen. That red rider and that white, that pale horse and that black rider. And they're gonna bring judgment on this place. I'm going to pour out the vials and the seven woes. And everything's going to happen. And it's not going to be a pleasant place because it says the ones that are left here are going to be crying for the rocks to fall down on. They're going to be trying to kill themselves. And they can't die. Because God's going to judge this earth for the sin of mankind. When Adam started there in the Garden of Eden, God says, I'm going to have to judge this earth. Not only the judgment of this earth, but John says, I looked up here and I saw the great white throne. The dead, small and great, gathered from all four corners of the world. And these people are standing there facing the great judge, the Lord God Almighty, with no hope. No hope. I can imagine there'll be many stand there that day and say, you know, I never heard, I never understood, I never had a clear presentation of the gospel. And you know, and I mean, I can imagine preachers, they're going to throw up all kinds of excuses as to why they didn't trust him as Savior. He's going to ask everyone standing there, what have you done with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? The fact of the matter is, there'll be no excuse. Because the Bible makes this statement, all of creation declares the glory of God. You can look at a rising sun, or you can look at a tree blowing in the wind, or you can see the grass and the hay blowing across the field, and the whispers off that hay, and the whispers off that tree limb, and the whispers just from the sun are saying, He's God. He's the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Creator. He is worthy. He is still seated on the throne. All of creation cries, there is a Savior, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand at that great white throne. You stand there without excuse and without hope. And you'll hear Him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." It's in this book, the Revelation. You can read it for yourself. Which I don't know where we'll be when this takes place. I don't know if we'll be in a silent balcony somewhere overlooking this. I have no idea. But I can imagine if that's the scene, we're seated in like a coliseum, the saints seated in like a coliseum, and we're watching our friends. We're watching family members, preacher. And we hear the Lord tell a family member or a neighbor or a co-worker, "Depart from me," and somehow or another, I believe, before they're rightly cast off into the lake of fire, which is the second death, they may find you and all those millions of people and point you out as they're being cast into hell. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you let me know there is a Savior? And I promise you, church, if we just grasp a hold that our family and our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers are dying lost, without hope, without God, and their only eternity will be in hell forever and forever and forever, that ought to make us want to fill up every pew tonight. That ought to make us want to go out and tell. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saved. But not only the judgment of the earth, the great white throne, what about the judgment seat of Christ? Somehow or another, preacher, I believe a lot of Baptist people, and I mention Baptist all the time because I don't know Pentecostal, and I don't know Methodist, and I don't know Presbyterian. I don't know Church of God. I don't know anything about them. But I do know Baptist. And somehow or another, I believe Baptist people have got to the place where they think this judgment seat of Christ is going to be a cakewalk. I really think Baptist people are thinking, hey, we're going to stand before the Lord. He's going to say, "Well done. Thou good and faithful servant, come on in." And that's going to be it, but that's not going to be it. Bible says we're going to be judged every deed done in the body. We're not going to be judged for our sin. That's already taken care of. God's already taken care of that. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you've trusted Him by faith, by grace through faith, then you don't have to worry about being judged for your sins. That's at the great white throne for the lost man. But if you know Him as Savior, you're going to stand before Him at this judgment seat. Blows my mind, preacher, every thought I've ever thought since I've been saved. Every word I've ever spoken, every deed I've ever done, every action, every reaction, I'm going to have to answer the why did you and why didn't you. And my whole life, preacher, since I got saved at the age of 12 years old, I don't know how it's going to be, but I believe it's going to be shown right before me. And I'm going to have to give an account. And just the fact that I'm going to have to give an account for the deeds I've done since I've been saved, it makes me want to be a better Christian. It makes me want to be a better preacher. It makes me want to be a better husband, a better father. It makes me want to serve Him more. It makes me want to be a better witness, knowing that I'm going to have to answer every why and every why not at this judgment seat. We're all right. We're going to make it to heaven. But I believe we're going to have to walk in with our heads bowed. Makes me want to do better. Makes me want to do better. And I'm going to have to stand before Him. And answer for me. Nobody else is going to answer for me. I'm going to have to answer for me. says, I looked up at heaven and saw not only the Savior, not only the sure judgment that's coming. John says, I looked up at heaven and I saw chapter 21, Satan. He gives us this account that he's doomed and defeated. We see him here preach chapter 20, chapter 21, I believe it is. He's bound. He's bound. He's bound for 1,000 years. He's let loose one more time, and then he's bound again for all eternity. Now, I don't know. I ask the Lord from time to time, Lord, while he's bound, when I'm going by, let me stand there for about 1,000,000 years and kick him in the head for every time he's had my family on target, for every time he's tried to attack me, for every time he's got on that bus, for every time he's got in that engine, for every time he's tried to destroy us, our testimony and our character and our joy, for every time he's tried to defeat us as a child of God. I just want to kick him for about 1,000,000 years. Laugh with joy for the fact that I see the Lord watch him cast Satan into hell where he belongs, where the beast and the false prophet are. John says, I love it. If I was going to preach, I'd tell you this one before. Now look, it's all Satan. John says, I looked, I saw the sure judgment. John says, I looked, I saw the Savior. He's still on the throne. John says, of all things that I saw, I looked way out through eternity, past where time stops. That I saw the saints. They're safe and they're satisfied. They're safe and they're satisfied. The book of the Revelation talks about two or three events that's going to happen. Number one's a wedding. The bride of Christ. My wife, 29 years ago, almost preacher, when I stood here, I turned my eyes towards the back door of that church, and she come down that aisle wearing that, adorned in that white dress. I'm thinking that's the prettiest woman I've ever saw in my life. My two twins, my girls, Michaela, y'all, most of y'all know Michaela, she's hanging over at the tent meeting, and her twin sister Madison, as a dad, walking those two girls down the aisle. The prettiest girls in the world. I can imagine, preacher, when the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, come up hither, and we're adorned in perfection. We're adorned in perfection. We'll have a glorified body fashioned like the Son of God. We'll not know sin. We'll not know blemish. We'll not know wrinkle. We'll not know anything of cancer. We'll not know anything of heart attack. We'll not know anything. But we'll be that bride adorned for her husband. And I can't imagine what that bride's going to look like when she walks down the aisle to meet her bridegroom. But after the wedding, Bible also brings up the subject of what all Baptists love, supper. And I don't know, preacher, the Bible talks about that city built four square. I don't have a clue if it's going to be one long table for mile after mile after mile, and we're all seated. There won't be not one empty seat there. They'll all be full. I don't know how many people will be there, but I can imagine the numbers up in the buildings. And I honestly, my ADD mind, I'm not knocking ADD, but my ADD mind wonders about how it's going to be. One long table. And the Bible says that our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to gird himself. And he's going to serve us. And I don't know if it's Zephaniah or Zechariah, but one of them says that he is going to joy over us with singing. You heard some good harmonies this morning. You heard some good leads. You heard some good altos. You heard some good tenors. You heard all the parts this morning. Some real, real, real good singing. But I can't imagine how it's going to be when the perfect Lamb of God, the one who's never knew no sin, starts singing. And I don't know what the song's going to be. I have no idea what the song's going to be. But I believe it's going to be something like, I'm glad you're part of the family of God. I'm glad you let me save you. I'm glad you trusted amazing grace. I'm glad you believed in the power of the blood. I don't know what the song's going to be, but I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sing to us, and I don't know how long it'll take, but friend, we got all eternity to enjoy hearing him sing. And then after he gets done singing, we may have to tell the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims, y'all hold on just a minute. I believe that bride, preacher, the church of God, is going to stand up. And we might start out in the course of thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. And then I believe we might go right into redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then we're going to sing the Baptist National Anthem, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You say, prove it. I can't, but you can't disprove me. And then the Bible says this. He's coming back on a white horse with all saints with him. All the chaos is still going on down here, preacher. But just the word of his voice, the power of his word, is going to all be done away with. And then the Bible says he's going to destroy heaven and earth and make a brand new one. And I honestly, this may be just my supposition, just my thinking, my ADD mind going wild again. But I don't know where we're going to reside. I have no idea. I don't know if we'll be in that new heaven, that new earth. I don't know if we'll be in that city built four square. Some of you may want to come back and be the mayor of Spruce Pine. I have no idea. You may want to do that. Have at it. But I do know wherever he is. I do know, preacher. It don't matter if he's in that new heaven, if he's in this new earth, if he's in that city built four square, if he's seated on the throne, I believe we'll have view of him all the time. I believe it don't matter which direction we look, we'll see the everlasting Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great God Almighty. I believe we'll see him all the time. And when we turn and see him, and when we just glance and look at him, all we'll want to do is fall down on our face and worship him, because that's what's going to make heaven heaven, is seeing him. John says, I looked and I beheld. If I was going to preach to you today, that's what I'd have preached to you. John says, I've seen it. If you're lost in the building today, please don't walk out these doors the way you come in. With the stuff that's gone on the last 18 months, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next breath. Don't take the chance of walking out these doors not knowing this Savior that's seated on the throne. Don't have to face him standing at that great white throne and hear him say, I can't find your name. Depart from me. Get saved today. Trust him today. Standing all over the building, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ready, come on, lead us a song, whatever you want her to play. If you're lost today, Christians, just the fact that you're going to have to stand before him at the judgment seat, that makes me want to pray every time the altars are open. Just because our family, friends, and co-workers are dying and going to hell, that makes me want to pray all the more for them. Makes me want to be the witness, the salt and the light that I'm supposed to be. If you're in this building today and don't know him, you can know him right there where you're sitting, or you can come down here and somebody take the word of God, show you how that you can know that you know that you know. Don't stand before him at the great white throne. Trust him today as your Savior. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I bless your name for being so good to me. God, I bless your name for being good to us. God, I pray right now that you'd have your way in this invitation. God, I pray that you'd save the lost. Convict that man, woman, boy, girl who don't know you as Lord and Savior. And save them today before it's everlasting too late. God, touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. Help us to see some of the things that John saw in these last of the last days. And we'll praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. They're going to sing. Pastor's coming. He's going to take this invitation. Don't wait. You need to come to these altars. You need to be saved. You come right now while they sing.